ask me what you know is true. Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is David.
And this is Douglas.
And as you can see, we're backing into this podcast. That's how you know it's going to be quality.
When we announce it twice.
And we start 13 minutes late.
13!
Thanks to Windows.
What?
Thanks to Windows. Who said, Andrew, have you set up yet at 8:30?
I had set up. Didn't you see everything was set up?
Andrew, is everything working at 8:30?
Steve Ballmer has promised us that 7 is working fine.
Did you watch Engadget show, by the way? That wasn't bad.
He is a crazy person.
Yeah, Steve Ballmer, you know what? I used to think he was crazy, but after watching that, I realized he's just
enthusiastic about what it is. Genuinely glad to be the CEO of that company.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good thing. Yeah. You know?
And I hear that 7 is good. Hopefully, you bastards are lying like Vista.
I bought the DVD, so you guys get it to me soon.
I remember the Vista situation. Everyone's like, oh, it's awesome. And then people got it and went, you guys are assholes.
I saw an article the other day about Windows 7 and it was called Hasta la Vista. Ars Technica, I love you.
Puns.
Wow. Anyways, moving on. Before we start the podcast, there's something I wanted to ask you guys about.
The podcast hasn't started yet?
No. Like, before we get into what we were... Whatever.
This is a holdover from last year. Guys, you have to listen to the last podcast. Honestly.
You have to have Damien's version of that podcast.
Oh, yes. And it is great. You guys really should listen to the live broadcast because some special things happen.
A couple of things I wanted to ask you guys and to mention. First of all, next week, I believe... Daylight Savings Time ends or starts, or the clocks change.
Ooh, so EDT will equal EST.
So, dun, dun, dun. For those of you coming to the live broadcast and aren't here, we typically broadcast at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but due to the clock change, we will now be at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time next week.
That's because you're not really Eastern Standard Time, bitches.
Daylight Savings Time was invented for farmers so that they could have extra light to do work. And you guys don't farm shit.
I'm sure there are some farmers somewhere.
Where? Farm.
The farm state, you know?
Anyways, after that, I wanted to, someone emailed me and made a suggestion about the show. I wanted to ask you guys about it.
He's wrong. I am not the weakest link. Goodbye.
What a weakest... That's impressive, sir.
Worked a weakest link reference.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That's special. Anyways, to what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
Last week we spoke about why we review the films we review. Right? And after listening to that, he emailed me and asked if it was at all possible if what we could do is we could continue doing what we do, but then add a fourth week in which it's a listener-picked film. Like, we could go back to the voting system that we were doing at the beginning. So what I was thinking to suggest is that we set out every month in that we select the three that we are going to, and then we each select an extra one on top of it, and that goes into a vote that goes on the site, and people will vote, and then we'll review that one for the fourth week in a month.
Sure. Suppose I didn't agree.
I'm here asking you.
It's 2-1 at this point.
I'm here asking you.
I know, but I'm just thinking, this is maybe a conversation for off the podcast. But yes.
So that punches can be thrown.
But then I can't get all three of us to talk.
Oh, so it's a plan. You plotted to...
You know what?
It was a poor play.
It was an entrapment. An entrapment's illegal.
All right, so starting next month, we'll start like that. Which is next week.
Okay.
So, all right, good.
So every fourth,
every month we'll select two movies, and the second movie will go into the vote.
Two movies.
Sure.
But there are three of us.
Yes, and the first three movies. The first movie you select is your selection, and we will review that film.
The second selection will go
into the vote.
We each will select two movies.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Whatever.
I understand now. Sorry.
So yeah, that's how it will go on from now.
Late in the night.
And that was all I really wanted to mention before we get into the podcast. All
right. So before we start, last week I failed to do my homework. I didn't watch this movie called Near Dark. Now, Douglas thinks this movie is phenomenal. And Andrew now has cancer because the movie was so terrible. I'm glad to say that Douglas is right.
Oh!
However, okay. Douglas, Andrew is more right.
Is this due to the problem with the movie?
No.
No? Okay, alright.
So you are right in the fact that Bill Paxton absolutely amazing in this movie. And if it were for him alone, this movie would have probably been amazing. The problem is that there's a movie alongside Bill Paxton. And that is where Andrew is more right. Because this movie is not a good movie. The plot makes no sense.
If you take away the one error problem that we both have with
the plot of the movie makes no sense, and the two lead characters, their behaviors and interactions with each other also make no sense, because after he is cured of his vampire-ism, she was, shown him that she's willing to kill people to sustain herself as a vampire. He still wants to go back to her, which is completely backwards because of the situation that he was in. And then the finale of this movie is god-awful. I must say, though, that the practical effects are very good.
Yes.
And Bill Paxton, he's so good as this character, it's kind of scary. But the rest of the movie is bad, Douglas.
So what you are saying is, as much as you enjoyed Bill Paxton,
and as much as it pains me to agree with Andrew,
yes,
he is right.
And there, it's been 32 weeks, and Andrew has finally gotten one agreement.
Oh, Lord. Dog, and it's 2 hours long, which didn't help. The bar scene, though, was mostly Paxton, which is why it was awesome. But god damn, that movie's bad. Especially that Heroes dude.
Petrelli.
He needs to learn how to use his face to portray feelings.
He no longer has to in Heroes now.
Okay. You still watch Heroes?
Yes.
Why?
I haven't watched this week's episode.
A terrible person.
Anyways.
Okay. No,
so as usual with our show, we're going to go into what we watched. We're going to go through news trailers, and then we'll be discussing our review of the week, Damien's pick, Mana on Wire. So I think I'll start out with what we watched this week. First of all, today I sat down and I watched Land of the Lost.
You hate yourself, don't you?
No, I would be lying if I said this was a good movie. But I'd be lying even more if I said I didn't laugh at certain points. This movie isn't completely
devoid of goodness,
but it's not a good movie.
Ah.
When you look at the trailer, you thought this was a movie that would fit the Will Ferrell character. But it doesn't. Will Ferrell sticks out like a sore thumb as usual.
Ron Burgundy.
I loved particularly Chuck in this movie.
Yeah.
And I will call her Chuck. It's Holly who plays Chuck in Pushing Daisies.
Yeah.
I love her in the movie. Though another problem I had with this movie is that even for me, I can't see 5 inches away from my face. I figured out this movie the moment it hit 20 minutes. So it was really easy to sit down and watch. And I mean,
is it short though?
No, it's an hour and a half basically.
Oh. Well, that's short. That's regular.
It's good enough. And another thing, I remember when it had just came out in theaters in the States, a lot of people were complaining about its appropriateness. Like, it's a PG-13 film,
right.
But you can see clearly in the film they have a ton of sexual jokes, and I don't mean like how Shrek would throw in a sex joke and only you and me could get it.
Nice.
But kind of sex joke where the child will stare up at mommy and say, "Mommy, what's that?" You know, and
it's a vagina boy.
I mean, there's a they use the word pussy, they lip fuck you, they have a joke where what's his name from Tropic Thunder, Danny McBride, has a mug with women's breasts on it exposed and no head, and he makes a joke that it's the perfect woman because there's no head and stuff. At the end of the movie, you see all the basically naked women coming up and stuff, and
yes, but that's how this Disney
movie
Channel.
How this movie got PG-13, I don't know. Basically, I think this is just like Transformers 2, where I think this is where Jamaica's rating system worked to have the intermediate, to actually have this one as like an A16 kind of thing.
Oh.
But it definitely isn't an R, it's like in between.
And it's also definitely not good. So should anyone see this movie, or should everyone just skip it and don't answer that you did?
Skip it.
Oh, that's great. Right in line with what I was going to do.
This week I also saw Moon. Did I? No, I didn't.
How did
I just thought I was playing with you guys. You guys were talking about how you didn't see Moon this week, so...
Well, we didn't.
Yes,
we
and couldn't. We'd probably never
exactly.
see Jamaica.
Unless, of course, Mr. Jones. Please.
Univarn said that he saw it, and I hate you.
Please send us a screener.
It's not fun. You guys aren't fun. Sandra, what else have you seen?
What else have I seen? Bringing up my list.
If only you had done this before.
I saw Bullet this week. It's a 1968 film with Steve McQueen. I didn't really like this movie that much.
Podcast is over.
I mean, except for the awesome cheese.
Stop talking to me.
This movie had an amazing chase scene in the middle. But otherwise, I don't know what there was.
Why do you hate old movies? I don't understand.
Can't you... What? All right, tell me what it is I should have liked about this film, other than the
McQueen
chase scene.
Is awesome, and he's awesome throughout the entire movie, and the story is good. On top of all of that, there's this phenomenal chase scene.
I don't think there's anything to get from this movie
Whatever.
Other than it's a generic.
It's generic for the 60s.
Yes.
Did you hear what he said? Oh my god. No. I have no sense.
Like about this, I have to actually stay out of this discussion because despite the fact that it was my Blu-ray that he used to watch it, I still
haven't
seen it.
When you see it, you're going to punch him in the face.
I'm sure I will.
So, I hate you so much. You know what? I lie near dark.
Keep this on an even
so
keel, right? Also, this week I saw Zombieland.
Oh, you... Bastard. You stole my second film that I watched.
And first of all, before I get into reviewing this film, I'd like to continue on a wonderful theme that we've been going this year in saying fuck you, Carib. And recently I've been doing the No Justice thing, you know. It was 7 weeks of I Can't Do Bad by Myself, No Justice. There was only one week of 500 Days of Summer, No Justice. 2 weeks of Inglourious Bastards, No Justice. There was only 1 week of Zombieland. And would you like to guess what kicked out Zombieland?
The Michael Jackson nonsense.
Michael Jackson, this is it. Saw 6. And All About Steve.
But All About Steve is coming out,
it
too?
Came out today.
And by the way, is I Can Do Bad still playing?
No, that's gone.
Finally.
So I thought they were going to wait until Precious came out so they could switch Tyler Perry for Tyler Perry. Anyways, Zombieland is a fucking amazing movie.
Is it better than Shaun of the Dead?
No. It's not. It's only a notch under Shaun of the Dead as far as I'm concerned.
Caveat. That's what I heard.
I just want to say to you
mm-hmm.
that this is a man who is worried about his stance on the internet. ask him this question after we stop recording and he'll tell you something different.
Oh, okay.
I was always sitting there in the car when you were talking.
That was Michelle saying that.
Oh no, you were both saying it, sir. You're like, oh yes, I agree with you. Mm. It was better than Shaun of the Dead.
This movie cures cancer.
I love how you always say that. I did not say that it was better than Shaun of the Dead. And I will allow you to chop off one of my hands if you can bring evidence to say.
What is he going to bring? Does he bug his car? I don't want to say.
What? I'm sure he does. He uses his iPhone.
Oh, so you iPhone jokes, Campbell. Insert iPhone joke here. Moving on.
As I said, this movie is amazing, and Jesse Eisenberg has given me another movie this year to love him for. First was Adventureland.
Wait,
second,
was that rubbish?
Adventure? It was all right. It wasn't as great as I think Andrew thought it was.
Second was Zombieland. I love this character. I love the random rules in all of the film going throughout. Like, you could start stop. He was like rule number one cardio, and you see him running around in circles with the zombies having to chase him. It was hilarious. Woody Harrelson, as you can guess, is straight up crazy.
Defender.
All he wants, all he wants is a Twinkie.
Yes, I love that.
And he'll do anything to get a Twinkie. He'll look over the hill and see all the zombies and see a Twinkie in the middle of the group, and he will go and kill all of those zombies just to get that Twinkie. I love that. And Emma Stone from Superbad is also awesome, along with her whoever is playing her little sister. And Emma Stone is pretty hot.
I beg your pardon? Whoever is playing her little sister?
Yeah.
You didn't recognize that lady?
Who was that?
She's the young girl from Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Just that movie's awesome. And they have an awesome cameo, which I won't mention because people need to go and see
this
movie.
No, but you know what I would like to mention is the fact that...
Please stop saying awesome.
Yeah. What I would like to mention is the fact that the cameo was supposed to be Patrick Swayze. But thanks to a little thing called cancer, he couldn't do it. So
didn't he kick cancer's ass before? I don't understand.
I know. He had his own show for like a year before he died. I don't understand. But apparently that's why he didn't do it. He said he got cancer and he
cancer is a vengeful bastard.
Yeah, so that's what I've seen this week.
Apparently there was going to be a whole scene with him, and there were going to be like moments where he's like, is that from Dirty Dancing type thing? But... they took that out.
Clearly. Did you guys ever see the Cinemash for Dirty Dancing?
No, sir, I did not.
What on earth is a Cinemash?
It's this thing that they were doing. I don't know which company it was, but it was going out on MSN Video. They did one for Sid and Nancy with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel. They did one for Training Day with Common and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, switching roles. So Common is Ethan Hawke, and he had the fake beard. It was hilarious. And they did a Cinemash for Dirty Dancing with Charlene Yee and Channing Tatum doing the Nobody Puts Baby in Corners.
Did you hear that Channing Tatum lost pieces of skin the other day?
I have no idea what you're talking about. And I don't know why I would care.
I saw a terrible trailer with him. He's in another war movie with some chick.
So in this other war movie with some chick, he is filming in somewhere like Ireland, and it's really cold. And apparently in order to keep himself warm, what he did was he wore a wetsuit under all of his clothes, and somehow got interns to pour water between the wetsuit and his clothes, or between him and the wetsuit that was, you know, really warm, really hot, whatever, and so he'd keep warm. But apparently one of the interns forgot to cool down the boiling water once, and they poured it down, and he was in, like, literally boiling water. And so, while they were taking off the wetsuit, his skin fell off or something. Or a big chunk of his skin fell off, somebody says. But no, apparently he's now back on the set acting again, so it didn't be that bad.
Oh, and one more thing before I go. It's not what I watched. This week, I was guested on Film Snobbery Live podcast, which you can find at filmsnobbery.com. Nick Baisley had me on. It was kind of fun to be on. I put a link in the show notes so people can get to that if they want.
Snobbery.
I didn't make his website name. Sure. People laugh about mine as well.
They should.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyways, Douglas, what did you see this week?
Well, I can't say I watched Zombieland.
Of course you can. You can give your own opinion on Zombieland.
My own opinion.
As opposed to somebody else's opinion.
Alright, so what I've been watching this week, a movie I saw actually last night. Was it last night or the night before? No, it was last night. On TV was Death at a Funeral. And I was so happy to watch this movie because Andrew has told me for the longest while this is a really funny movie. Amazingly so. And I've seen a bunch of, you know, stuff online saying pretty much the same thing. And then I watched it and I still haven't really laughed. It wasn't that funny. There were funny instances and I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, certain people were in it, like Alan Tudyk, I love him. I've Got a Big Knob Man was in it as well from from Love Actually. Whenever I see him, it's ridiculous. Whenever I see him, I feel like I almost have to say, I've got a big knob. But
that's sad, man.
Yeah, so that was...
I want to watch that movie now.
Yeah, that was about the coolest part of that movie. Then the rest of it was a bit of a farce. I mean, everything was falling apart, which played well, but at the same time, I was just like, okay, I'm watching it, and I'm not really feeling like this is really, really funny. I'm just seeing the disaster happen and being like, okay, it's happening. Okay, that's fine. So I was very disappointed in that movie.
Well, when I watched it, I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into. So, you know, that's expectations.
True. Yeah, it could easily be that. Right? So my expectations were way high and I did not get those.
Got bored.
Right, exactly.
But what did you think of Zombieland anyways?
Zombieland, I mean, I essentially have your opinion. I liked it. I have my own opinion in that it is not better than Shaun of the Dead.
I'm going to ignore you, but move on.
No, I thought Zombieland was a pretty good movie. Not sure if I'd buy it, but I think that more than likely if I watch it again, I'll realize why I need to buy it. But yes, very good movie. Had its funny parts, had its, you know, sappy parts that they managed to work well within the context. So, it's great. So back to my list here, my very short list. Another thing that I've been watching recently, I've talked about this before, but not with as much fervor as I'm about to talk about it. Bored to Death. Before, you know, I was watching it, I was giving my guy a chance. You know, he's got Zach Galifianakis, who, yeah, he was hilarious in Hangover. But he's not retarded. Really the pull. The pull for me was Jason Schwartzman. I really like him. I like him in Coconut Records. He has this band, and he's awesome in there. I like him in a lot of his Wes Anderson movies. So I was like, okay, I'll have to give it, you know, at least the first season before I say no.
No love for Ted Danson?
Yes, there is love for Ted Danson, and I'm coming to that because Ted Danson plays a huge role in why I think this show is now the best show. Well, not the best, but a, like, top-notch show. I no longer can miss this show. This show is great.
Can I tell you right now, my mind is fast-forwarding to January. Uh-huh. And Damien coming here and saying that he's finally sat down and watched a show and we're all wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Watching.
Bored to death.
Fair enough.
Anyways, go on.
No, but you see, you guys aren't using caveats that you use in other shows. There's not, you know, it's kind of alright and it gets better and, you know, it takes a while to pick. No, you guys are... You know, you're being very direct. There's no beating around the bush. You're like, this show is awesome. And why, if it was just Andrew alone, I'd be a bit skeptical. But Douglas is on board too. So yeah. I'll give it a look.
I love how no one trusts my judgment.
Andrew.
Because you've proved yourself to be
Lord.
A poor, poor judge.
I've told you a long time ago that his scale is broken. And you just keep hitting it for no reason at all.
Anyways, you were saying...
Bored to Death. Very good show. Finally coming into itself. And I hope that they... I hope that they keep along the lines. No, I'm serious, because the previous four episodes, some of them, you know, it's been increasingly getting better, but none of them have shown me the potential, shown me the goods, like this last
episode. The episode 13.
Exactly.
No, right? I just think the sentence coming into itself sounded kind of funny.
All right, fine. Be 2 years old. That's okay with me. But
really, we're 6 years old on this podcast.
Come on. Wow. And the last thing that I'm going to talk about, I may have talked about before, but I don't think so. And to tell you the truth, this is not the first time I've seen this, and it will not be the last time I've seen this. This show is now officially on my to-buy list, even though it's actually already in this vicinity. And this show is Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. In the last 3 days, I've probably watched it as many times. This show it's great. I knew it was good before, because I have seen it before. I saw it when it first came out on iTunes, and I thought it was good. But it's one of those shows that you can just watch, and then watch, and then watch. And for that, I take my hat off to you, Joss. You are the man. Okay?
Buffy.
No.
Don't push it. Take a step back.
If Buffy was on, say, Showtime, maybe, but no.
Sarah Michelle Gellar could act.
You know.
Anyways,
exactly. If any of these things,
I had the winning lot on Umbus.
Right. So yeah, that's essentially my list. My list of three things.
Right, I figure it's my turn. Yes. Last week I watched all shitty movies, and I promised you all that I would at least talk about good movies.
So you're going back to a month ago in your watch list.
Yeah. You're funny. So I saw Volver again, because Penelope Cruz is hot.
Yep.
And I could not resist. And the movie, I still like that movie. It's not,
which movie?
Volvo. I like that movie a lot, but I'm kind of biased, because Penelope Cruz is very pretty. And it's in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. Don't know if you guys know this.
Really?
So, and I feel the subtitles that I got may have been mistranslated in some areas, but it didn't take away from the overall of the movie. And I haven't seen any negative feedback, unlike a certain other movie that I've rewatched this week, because I kept hearing worse and worse things about this movie. Me and Douglas talked about this movie, Antichrist, last week, and we both love the movie. But people have been giving this movie a lot of shit. And there's a lot of negative feedback about this movie. I heard that there was some bust up at Cannes after he showed it. People were like, you shouldn't show this movie. So it's just madness. And he had choice words to say to all of those people. This movie is still awesome. I don't know. You know, Different Strokes. I don't know what movie those people are watching. But the performances in this movie alone should be able to carry anybody through. I don't... Like, people are saying that the characters weren't interesting. I have no clue what these people are talking about. I'm sure Douglas will back me up.
Yes.
What?
Wholeheartedly.
I mean, they keep saying that, you know, it's not a good movie, but saying the direction was great and the cinematography was great and the acting was great. So I don't understand where it fell apart. If there's so many things going for a movie, what happens to make?
Are you still trying to get Wi-Fi?
The movie bad, I don't know.
Wi-Fi just popped out and I found a sweet spot over here. So.
Oh, Douglas. Really?
Anyways, go on, David.
Right. So, moving past Von Trier's madness. There's two more movies that I'll talk about. But before I get to that, I'd like to continue to ask you bastards to watch Lie to Me. I know it's not going to happen.
I've been watching 30 Rock.
But
Generalissimo.
I started watching the new season because I couldn't help myself. It's
you addict.
Just as good as the last season, but now I'm going to stop because I think there's 3 or 4 episodes in, and I don't want to watch anything week to week anymore. But it's still they've kept the intensity up from the last season into this new season. Seriously, don't know what's preventing you guys from watching it. There is another show that I want to watch because I've been reading good things about it. It's called Breaking Bad. It's the name of the show. It's
I know that I've heard the name.
Right, it's the same show I was talking about some drug dealer and some other youth.
Oh, okay.
I hear that it's really, really good. Like, so,
so I know Damon is going to laugh at me, right?
Awesome.
But Aaron in the chat room is helping me defend Buffy, right? And he's saying, for all of you people who keep saying that Sarah Michelle Gellar can't act, I would argue against that. Well, at least for seasons 5, 6, and 7.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
I have to watch seasons
or 100 episodes of nonsense in hopes that you are right? Is that what he's asking?
Jose was just giving me a synopsis. First 4 seasons, Buffy grows up, Buffy is a vampire killer. And then
Buffy
I can watch
kills
them.
Vampires and meets character A, B, C, D. And this is season 5.
Why don't you just do that, huh?
If you do that, maybe.
Anyways, I just felt like letting Damien have his fun with that.
Oh, you're such a bastard.
Continue.
Right. And I saw a movie that we can't talk about.
I think we all saw that.
And, God, that movie's good. Right. I also saw a movie that came out last year called Special with Michael Rapaport. And the trailer...
You saw Special? I need to borrow your...
You can borrow special. Right. And while not as good as the movie that I can't talk about, Michael Rapaport, he is phenomenal in this movie. I didn't know that he had so much range as an actor, because we always see him as, kind of a dirty comedian. That's basically what he plays all
a
the
dirty,
time.
Angry
a dirty, angry comedian.
Essentially, and he's Dennis Leary, right. Except he's a little bit more well-kept.
And he is that at, the beginning, but by the time they get to the end of the movie, the movie is... It is a bit straightforward. It's not trying to say anything. It just came up with a premise and tried to work its way through the premise. There are some ups and some downs. There is a bit of a lull about 3/4 of the way through the movie. And you just feel like you're waiting for the end, but they're holding it off for some strange reason. But it's not... The movies, I'd give it a 7.5 out of 10. I really like it. And the final movie I want to talk about is a movie called A Christmas Tale. It is not the one that you're thinking. Don't look at me like that, Douglas.
A Christmas Tale as in I got my tongue stuck to a pole?
No.
Oh, okay.
At least I think it's called A Christmas Tale. I saw this trailer last year. It's the guy that... I keep blanking on his name. Yeah.
Okay.
The guy who was the villain in Bond. The last Bond. Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace. Oh, yeah. Right. He was in Munich. What's his name?
I'm blanking.
I have absolutely no clue. Let's move on.
Right. So, it is... Not a typical... It is called A Christmas Tale, but it is not it is not in English, which
helps. So you're saying they don't have Christmas?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Christmas is an English holiday, which is stupid. But it's about a man who was ousted from the family for being a klutz, basically. He always gets himself into trouble, and they basically excommunicated him from the family. But then the mother needed a bone marrow transplant, and this is years later, and he was the only match. And so they had to get in contact with him. And while he was in Jamaica in terms of waste man when he left, he's far from that person now. But they're all bitter and they all hate each other. So it is set in Christmas, and it's just constant bickering back and forth between the mother and her other children and this guy and his wife, trying to be friendly with all of them, but they're all so bitter towards him that it all spills over onto her. And so it's just awesome conversations of people trying to hide their bitterness towards each other, and it is phenomenal. I don't know, I don't care how you guys, I'll get to see this movie, not my problem. This movie is must see. And it is such a good Christmas movie, because that's how most people feel about Christmas. You're forced to come together with people you clearly don't like. It's the reason why you come together only once a year for Christmas. So you don't like these people, but you pretend to like these people. And when there's something that is forcing you to have this interaction with these people, and on top of that, there's this guy, you need him, although you hate him, to save someone else. The conversations are just, it is funny, it's clever, unless whoever is writing the subtitles is a genius, and the movie is nothing like that, and he's just lying his way. God, I love this movie. This movie is so good. And I just came across a trailer, because I store all these trailers, because I'm a lunatic. And I remember that I liked the trailer, and I sought out the movie, and thank God I did. You guys need to see this movie, no matter what. I suggest everyone go on IMDb. It's not the Tim Allen, because when I say the name, people think about shitty Disney movies. And
the one I was thinking about isn't crappy. It's just so old.
Love this movie. God, I love this movie. Okay. So that's all I watched. Good movies this week.
Okay, very good.
Before we get into news, I was listening earlier this week to the Film Spotting podcast episode 278, where they reviewed Where the Wild Things Are.
Right? Did they love it?
They loved it.
Damn it. I need some bad reviews of that movie so I don't feel so that I don't feel bad about not seeing the movie.
Years. And Matthew Robinson mentioned something during his review, and I wanted to ask you guys about it. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that looking at this film, it reminds him of how much better children's movies were when he was a child than today. So, like, do you think children's movies from 10-20 years ago were that much... And I know Matthew Robinson wasn't a child then, but, you know, just thinking back, 10-20 years back, is it that much better than what children have to watch today?
Yes. No, it's hands down, yes.
I don't think so.
Lion King, that's all I have to say.
I know, but for every Lion King, there is an Incredibles. I think that...
No.
You wouldn't even put those two in the same class, no?
No, I'm not saying that it's not in the same class. I'm saying there was one of those movies, Disney, for years and years, had a solid clip. Every single year, without fail, there'd be some spectacular Disney movie. And on top of that, we used to watch like Dexter's Lab, and there was Thundercats. And even though a lot of those shows don't hold up now, a lot of the kids movies like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all, there was a lot of kids movies when I was a child that, you know, are those, because the kids movies now are, there's all Spy Kids and aliens in the attic.
But the thing about
and
it is, right, it's not that they weren't around back then either. Bad children's movies that don't appeal to anybody else, that really shouldn't appeal to children anyway, has always been, or have always been, in existence. So I think that it's not that children's movies have gotten better or they've gotten worse. It's just that as you grow older, you learn to
distinguish between the good ones and the bad ones, and the bad ones are so bad that you just focus on them more.
Right, because now that you said that, I remember that we got Mortal Kombat and Mario Brothers.
But you see, like, Mortal Kombat, I don't count it as a children's movie.
What do you count it as?
No, I, like, when you
think Mario Brothers. Wing Commando.
But you see, like, when I think of, like, children's movies, family movies, I think of things like Labyrinth.
Okay.
Think of things like The Hobbit, the original animated film that
didn't
we saw.
That one.
There was a dragon.
I loved that movie when I watched it when I was younger.
It's called nostalgia.
I saw it, or I couldn't even see it. I watched, like, the first half an hour when I was in college, and
shit.
Whoa.
You know what I found funny? I found out that they made an animated film like The Hobbit for The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And I watched that, and I realized how gay Sam and Frodo were.
You're still gay.
No, in the movies, it's not nowhere near as bad as in the Peter Jackson films, it's nowhere near as bad as in that animated movie.
Fair enough. I haven't seen animated movie.
But I mean, whenever I think of like a children's, a family movie, I think of stuff like that rather than just
Street Fighter.
Well, you know, like those things kind of appeal more to the teenager than the child.
Nostalgia paints a lot of things really, really well. You know, I keep telling people, don't go back and watch some of these cartoons, because I have, and I've ruined my childhood for it. Jason the Real Warriors.
Shut up.
Thundercats.
Shut up.
Thundercats is probably the only one that kind of sort of holds up.
Mara.
What about
Silverhawks?
I was about to say Silverhawks. What
good
about that?
Good lord, that is bad.
But it's like Thundercats in space.
You think.
it has the same villain.
It's like head scratching lip. It's like appalling to the senses. And I won't even talk like Power Rangers.
Power Rangers, but you know what happened to me? I was too old at that point. I was eight or ten.
I had enough sense to never like Power Rangers. And I used to get a lot of grief for it as a child.
I remember liking the movie.
And I remember they had one day, like before the end of the year, we had class party on the Friday, but on the Thursday there was screenings of the Power Ranger movie. And I was trying to get my mother to not send me to school, so I didn't want to see the Power Rangers, because the whole day was just waiting for every form to go and watch the movie. So you'd sit in class until it's your form time to watch a shitty movie. Come on. I remember hating that day. I was so angry. I hated Power Rangers. I hated the people who love Power Rangers. It was just not a good day for me. And we sat down and I saw the movie, and I said, if this movie was how Power Rangers actually was day to day, I'd probably like it more. But it's not. And and if you go even further back, like Hercules and Transformers, it is abysmal.
G.I. Joe was awesome.
Like, go, if you have Boomerang, just turn it on whenever you see a cartoon and prepare to cry. The only cartoons that really stand up are Animaniacs and Tom and Jerry.
What about all the Hanna-Barbera cartoons?
I love those. Like Flintstones.
Yeah, Flintstones is Hanna-Barbera.
Jetsons.
The cat one. Top Cat.
Is that Hanna-Barbera?
Yes,
I haven't gone back and seen Jetsons.
I don't know if you guys, I know you've told me you don't remember it. I don't know if you've seen this. Oh, wait, I spoke about it already. Fraggle Rock, do you remember watching that? That for me.
Have you gone back and seen it?
The Muppets?
Not.
Go back and watch Sesame Street.
Not the Sesame Street Muppets.
No, but listen to me. Go back and just attempt to watch an episode of Sesame Street.
I will go on YouTube and I'll watch some actor appearances on Sesame Street and love those. There's one with Ricky Gervais.
There's one with James Earl Jones.
Which is hilarious.
There's one with James Earl Jones. Hilarious.
There's one with Pierce Brosnan.
But it is...
where he burns himself.
But it's bad.
Yes.
Cookie, 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 cookie. Right. So... So, I don't know.
So
don't
are
know.
You are you saying so are you're no I don't know
or? Let me tell you, cause now I'm older and I can see shitty children's movie for what they are, but I couldn't back then.
But I mean, at the same time, when we watch children's movies today, like a Monsters vs. Aliens or a Pixar film, you know, let's see Pixar out of it, because that's what it's
no, easy. They are children.
They are, but I mean, they're
no,
more...
No, you can't leave Pixar out of it.
You can't, because they're the juggernauts in the children's right, movie.
Pixar movies, you see DreamWorks
so
stuff, Shrek and stuff. And
there's
then
the Nickelodeon
and
stuff,
then, and then
Hotel
see,
for Dogs and Inkheart. No, there's but, good and there's bad. There's
yeah,
no way.
That's what I think it is. Right. There always was good and bad. And
yeah,
you
it's
just,
probably the ratio
you
is
learn
probably
more
the same.
Yeah,
because there's always going to be kids, and there's always going to be movies directed at kids, and we probably don't watch half of those movies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfair for us to say
speaking
that they're bad.
Of bad movies that I'm sure we thought were good. Do you remember a little film by the name of Homeward Bound?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I remember loving that movie.
No.
I thought it was awesome when I saw it first.
The Macaulay Culkin movie.
No,
Home Alone,
you cannot
Home
touch
Alone.
It. You cannot touch it.
Relax.
John Hughes written.
Relax. I was going to say those movies still hold up.
Even
you
know, the second one.
Even
the, even
no, the
second,
second
one.
I always love the second one.
Yeah,
but they made a couple others afterwards.
Yeah.
Good
I can't remember. The third one, I know it's really bad, but is it Scarlett Johansson or...
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson's in that one.
I block all memory of that nonsense.
Yes.
Richie Rich is terrible though.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think Macaulay Culkin will ever make it back into...
Are you crazy?
I don't think he'll make it back into mainstream, but
he can...
Because
he
was in
Rule
Kings
Limited,
and,
right?
Yeah,
he can rule
he'll
the
have
limited
his indie
circles.
Niche, and I think he's kind of forging his way there. He's got... this is an old movie, but he was really good, I thought, in Jesus Saves. Is that what
saved
it's called?
It.
Saved. All right. I hear good things about another movie. What was it? It's a sex movie. Either Sex 101 or Sex and Breakfast.
Sex and Breakfast. I saw that movie.
People say good things about it. What did you think?
I thought it was alright. I mean, I laughed at one thing, but that was a Tarantino inside joke.
Okay. And personally, just from what I've seen of him lately, I like his demeanor. I like the way he portrays himself on camera. So
I haven't seen that many movies for him, so I don't.
Yeah, so you know.
I kind of liked him in Kings. Have any of you guys watched Kings yet?
The show Kings?
Yeah, the show.
With
the one...
your man that talks like this.
Didn't
that show get
canceled? Yeah, one season and then it was over.
Couldn't be that good.
I think it's really good.
Yes, but you've been wrong before.
Anyways, I guess we can move on then.
Move on.
In news this week... it's been announced that Hulu is going to start charging.
Yay!
Next year.
No, you have to be careful with that. It's announced that Hulu might start charging, and possibly as soon as next year.
Oh.
Right? Nothing is set in stone yet. The comment that they have that they're using as proof is a comment from a News Corp higher up, a CEO, that says we should get paid for what we broadcast. That's the comment that is saying, oh, they're going to make us
we
pay.
Call that ads. Advertising.
So I wouldn't put it down as 100% yet, but I'd say it's still speculation. And
what
still a
what Hulu needs to do is go to Netflix and say, buy me please.
Have you ever used Hulu, by the way?
No, because I live in Jamaica.
I know this, but we all know their ways of getting around it.
I've never used it.
Okay, I used it when I went abroad a couple times.
All right, okay, I have used Netflix.
Fantastic.
And Hulu.
Hulu is... Isn't Hulu awesome since you've used
it? It is really fast, it is very pretty.
It is very pretty.
And the search is really good.
Yeah, and you actually get proper... You can get standard definition, but you can also get high def. And it
and
looks
not YouTube's
good. Yeah.
Pale imitation of a high def.
And the major thing that people love about it is that... The on-demand feature, clearly. But also the fact that whenever episodes of... television shows have breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't show three or four ads, they show one, and each ad is about 15 seconds to maybe 30. So essentially you're watching a TV show
You get, you still get,
you know,
ads.
In the 20 minutes, you get one ad. So each show you get maybe right. three ads.
This is show ads.
15.
But it's because it's so on demand and so fast, it's not really, like, you don't feel bogged down by ads.
No, but what I'm saying is they literally do show less ads. They show one per break as opposed to the three or four that usually show.
But I mean, people need to understand it. If people are going to have these large video databases, servers cost money. Broadcasting all this information cost, I'm sure, isn't cheap. Especially when you're doing it in high def. So mm-hmm. you need to expect, if you're not going to pay for it, then you need to expect ads. And recently, Game Trailers changed their website, their video player, so that you couldn't skip the ads. And people were like, oh, this is the worst thing we've ever... And
you see, here's the thing. Right, here's the thing with
that.
It's crazy. Like, I'm okay with it in a Hulu sense. Like, I can dig down and watch ads if I'm watching a 30-20 minute show, right? But the thing with Game Trailers, and I notice it happening with a lot of video players that people use on their movie sites, if I'm going to sit down and watch an ad for a game or a movie that I've decided to watch, I don't want to watch a 30-second ad for... You know? It kind of gets annoying like that. So that's why I would be... annoyed with Game
right,
Trailers.
Right, but it's not. But Game Trailers doesn't do it for every video.
Okay.
They're making it seem like every time you click a video, there's an ad. Which is...
Some people do that, though.
Yeah, no. I understand. No, in that case, then there's a problem. But these people need to recoup some of the costs. It's a free website. Now, if somewhere like IGN did it, where you can pay to become a premium member, and then you still had to watch ads, then you couldn't be up in arms as much as you want. But if it's a free site...
Yeah, but we can still bitch and moan.
Yeah, because everything on the internet should be free. Mm.
Of course. That's why it's the internet. Once I pay my electric bill, it's good.
Wow. They should make... Like, my one... They should make TV episodes free. After they've aired...
Yeah.
Because you're paying a cable subscription. So you're paying to watch the episode anyway. And there are TiVos out there.
So
if I want to go back and watch the episode whenever I want to, right? You should make that available. Make me watch the same ads that you were broadcasting, or have different encodes for wherever you live in the world. But I'm paying for, you know, TV. I'm paying for it anyway. So why can't I get the episode after? You can still put out the box set. People still buy it. I don't understand why they feel that. Oh, if I have some crappy version of the show, no one will buy the box set. It's a complete fallacy. I don't understand.
So are you saying that on demand is a must now? People
yes.
need to.
On demand is a must.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is getting ridiculous.
On demand is a must. However, I agree with Damien that. Costs need to get recouped. I don't agree that it has to get recouped in that way. However, I don't have a proper, you know, proposal yet.
No, so. But if not ads, then...
No, something. I don't know how, but I'll think about it and I'll tell you what I can.
Blood? We can give blood.
Yeah, man.
To get videos.
Going on about this on-demand thing and...
No,
we're all going theoretical. But as you said, like, providers, Source, NBC, whoever it is that's doing this should be able to give us these things. How are you on DRM and the possibility of CBS and NBC utilizing DRMs just so that you can get in, and at the same time they have a level of security knowing that...
Let me tell you the problem with DRM. People look at DRM as this thing that prevents people from getting from pirating their software. That's basically what it's there, to prevent piracy. But we all know that DRM doesn't work. If someone wants to pirate something, they're going to pirate it. No matter what you put as DRM, pirates are going to pirate it. The only person that is inconvenienced by DRM are people who want to use things legitimately. I buy a DVD and I want to put it on all my personal devices, and I can't do it because they are afraid that someone is going to take their movie and put it on the internet for people to pirate. But the DRM on the disc that I have bought doesn't prevent the pirates from getting the movie. I have a big problem with Blu-rays. Every time I put in one, there are ads. All these ads before I see my
actually,
movie.
I have a huge problem with that. Can I tell
and
you?
It is
huge.
Very, very annoying. I paid money to buy
a
this
lot
movie,
of money, by the
and
way.
They have an ad that says I shouldn't pirate movies. Why?
I'm talking about the trailers
yeah. ahead of it. I'm really annoyed, and that is just like the straw.
The funny thing is, you know, if they put it under the disc, I will watch all of them.
Exactly, because you go through all the menus anyway, and you watch all the ads.
Yeah,
I am forced to watch these ads. Course, unless I use XBMC and pour through all that nonsense, go straight to the movie before I can watch my movie, which seems kind of bad. I am paying for it and I'm being hindered in my usage of it, while people who want to pirate it, guess what, already going to pirate. You cannot stop pirates, it's the internet. Don't punish. All right, but if you make it easier for the pirates, more people going to pirate it. According to who? What logic? How do you who?
So what you're saying is that there's no cure for piracy.
DRM is clearly not working.
No, there's
no cure. It's the internet.
All right.
They're pirating things that
you know. That
people pirate things that they shouldn't even pirate. You realize that?
You brought up a good point, saying you know, asking whether he thought that there was no cure for piracy, and I'm not sure if there is a cure for piracy, but what I think they need to look at is somehow transitioning piracy into being legitimate and money-making opportunities. And it can be done, but it's difficult, it's tedious, and they don't want to do it because it doesn't fit in with their current business plan.
But
the thing about DRM is I don't like it because, as Damien says, it inconveniences the wrong person. And I personally don't like owning something that I can't
do anything. Exactly.
Right? I own it, but I can't put it on my iPod. I own it, but I can only play it at my house. I can't lend it to my friend. I own it, but I can't, I can't do anything with it other than put it in one specific piece of hardware. Suppose that hardware mashes up. What am I left with
then? Right. And you what this is, well, if you had a disc and the disc broke, then you couldn't use that disc again. I'm like, you make a good point, but if it's my disc, I can make a billion copies so that if one breaks, I still have a copy of my thing. I'm not selling it to other people.
Right.
And if I wanted to, there's no way for you to stop me. Because you putting DRM on it doesn't prevent me from breaking that DRM. It's the internet. Windows 7 wasn't even out before people started pirating it. How are you going to stop these people? How do they honestly believe that they're, and there have been studies that say a lot of people who do pirate movies and music turn around and buy a lot of movies and music.
I saw a very interesting article just today, and it gave actual facts of box office values, you know, how much money came into the box office and how many movies were released and that kind of thing. And on a per movie rate, it was a little bit lower, but if you looked at it each year, year over year, the value of money raked in through the box office increased from something like 4 billion to almost 10 within, say, 5 years. So that's a sizable move for an industry that claims that they're losing a lot of money thanks to piracy.
Right, the music industry is like, piracy is killing us. No, shitty music is killing you. People still buy the music that they want.
Yeah. You know what?
Dark Knight made a kajillion dollars because it's an awesome movie. And it made a killing on Blu-ray. It's not, oh, people didn't pirate that movie. Is that what you're saying? Because you had special DRM on that. People didn't buy it. No, not everybody's a pirate. There's people who legitimately want to buy things. And you're inconveniencing them to prevent who?
Who are they preventing?
Yeah, they need to make everything more convenient. That will definitely lower limit the rate of piracy.
You wouldn't feel
for
the need
example,
to pirate
remember
things.
The same question that I asked you today. Can I go on my PS3 and just buy a game and download it? You can't.
Well, not yet.
Well, not yet.
Well, not full PS3 games, right. But there are other games you can buy.
Yeah.
And I've utilized that function many, many
and
times.
And yeah, I've downloaded a few demos and played them.
It's so convenient, you just... I have my credit card here, I buy this game and you wait for it to download and then you play it. And
yeah.
PS3 even offers you can back it up onto a hard drive, take out that hard drive. So if the system breaks and it's not the hard drive die, you can put it back in a new system and it still works. And I think even if your system, everything dies, there's still something on the online that says you have purchased it. And I think you can re-download it up to 3 times or something like that.
Yeah, but anyway, to get back to the original point, DRM...
doesn't work.
I don't like it. I'm not going to say it doesn't work, though it does right now in this incarnation. I don't like it. I, however, understand why the big companies feel like they need it.
Because they're greedy.
not because they're greedy.
Yeah, because
they have
greedy.
They have valid concerns, but at the same time, yes, they are kind of greedy.
Alright, moving on in the news this week.
And they need to change their mindset, they need to change how DRM works, and they need to make sure that it doesn't infringe on the rights that they don't think that the consumer has.
Okay. Elsewhere in the news... Apparently, it's been confirmed that there will be a remake of My Fair Lady with director Joe Wright attached and Keira Knightley to star.
Who's Joe Wright?
Atonement and... what's that movie that I watched
by
the
way,
day?
Andrew, I didn't know that. You shouldn't have said it.
the one with Jamie Foxx that I watched the other day and I've forgotten the name
which
already.
Which one? The Kingdom?
No, the music one.
Oh, the music one.
Soloist.
The music one.
Soloist and Atonement.
Right.
He's done those movies.
One movie that got really bad in the end and one movie that was just really bad.
And you haven't watched?
I haven't watched it for a reason.
So I knew who he was. I just needed him to say that. So that I can say, fuck this movie. Him and Keira Knightley didn't give me a good movie to begin with. I don't think I'm going to give him a second chance. Now...
I don't know. I have hopes for Keira Knightley still.
No, I don't have a problem with her.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying the last time they came together,
the movie
I got.
The funny thing about that movie though, if you cut off the last, say, 15 minutes,
that's what
it
you
would be
think.
A decent movie.
I think the first 50 minutes is completely unnecessary. And then they told a pretty standard rest of the movie.
So I guess I'm the only one in the room who loves Atonement.
Duh.
Once again.
Like, I understand Damien's point.
Yes.
The first 50 minutes are pretty useless until you get to the 51st minute. And the thing about it is that when the movie is all said and done, I appreciate the first 50 minutes for setting up the rest of the movie.
It took him 50 minutes to do that.
You know, I don't know. I enjoyed it and I loved it.
No, I'm
Keira Knightley, on the other hand... For some reason, I'm not really sure about her filling in an Audrey Hepburn role.
Have you seen... Well,
yes, I have seen.
You don't think that Keira Knightley
can be
can
pretty,
act, is what you're saying?
Can be gossiped up on.
I'm going to take a line from our good friend Jeremy Clarkson and
say call her the rake.
She's a washboard with a face.
So I think Keira Knightley.
So you're saying because she doesn't have large breasts and a big ass, she can't act.
Essentially.
No, I'm
which
saying.
Which makes no sense. Because on the flip side, Megan Fox has both these things and has the acting chops of a pencil.
I think you overestimate her ability.
Fair enough. She has the acting chops of a poster.
Actually, what I was trying to say is that the fact that she's a washboard with her face is the only attribute she has. And it has not her acting has nothing to do with her washboardness.
What is he talking about? Are we talking about the same thing?
She's a bad actress.
Thank you. You're wrong, but thank you for finally saying it.
Where has she shown the goodness?
She showed a little bit of it in a movie that not a lot of people like, Domino.
Right. There's Domino. There's that.
I didn't really like that movie.
There's that.
What did I just say?
I actually did like that movie.
I think it's King Arthur. I think that's.
Oh, King Arthur. You like King Arthur?
No, I like her in it. The movie wasn't that great, but she was. Yeah. There's a. She was. She was in
Bendit, like Beckham.
Some period piece. Stop talking to me. She's in some period piece. I think
the Duchess. She was in the Duchess. Yeah. I have watched that.
If she can pull off the Duchess, I'm pretty sure she can pull off a decent Audrey Hepburn.
And you have to remember that a lot of her movies that you hate her for are movies that she does the job for. When she's in Pirates of the Caribbean, she's not supposed to be this amazing actress. She's supposed to be a nice. Set of legs to look at while she's shouting things to
and punching
Orlando
people.
Okay, so I think that she has potential.
Right,
I don't know if she's going to be great or not. It's like
see
you know
the Duchess
who, she's
and
like,
come back.
All right, exactly. And you know who she's like is Rachel getting married.
Anne Hathaway.
Before that movie, I was like, well, she looks like she could do something, but I'm not sure.
I enjoyed that.
And then.
Problem.
And then Rachel getting married came out, and I was like, okay, she
and
has
I,
proved herself.
Yes, but I do hate that movie.
Oh man, that movie's awesome.
No,
but
that family
she's
doesn't
just
exist
like that.
Anywhere.
So that doesn't mean that the movie's not good.
No, that is one problem. There's
that
other issues that I have. Fair enough.
So yeah, I think she could be good. Anyway, what were they talking about? Oh yeah, Joe Wright. Come on, dude. No.
Wow. So Keira Knightley, maybe Joe Wright.
What about seeing My Fair Lady again?
Why do we need to repeat that movie?
I'm sad that we are in this stage where we are constantly rehashing stuff. I tried for a long time not to be that guy.
Bummed
who
up.
Is everybody? Everybody is like, oh, we're doing so many remakes. It's like, you know what? Well, you know, let's see what happens. But
it
no,
happens.
Really right. Is getting a
so
bit
what I say we do,
too
we
much.
Hold off on this podcast for like 7 years and then we start back up when they run out of things to remake.
No, you see, I've decided that what I'm going to do is every time I hear the word remake in a title of an article, I will die a little inside.
What we should do is skip it.
But...
and not talk about them.
But any time that I actually get to see this movie that will be remade and it turns out to be good, like, let's say, Ocean's 11 and The Departed, I will admit to it and
no,
say
yeah.
Thumbs
or,
up to it.
So... or
we need to try and make some good things though. Like,
when they
you know,
remake
there
Old Boy
that you could
and
do.
It is a travesty, we could all kill ourselves. I'm just saying.
See, no, the thing that I have a problem with is even if you don't want to be that creative, you need to make a something that has been made before. Why not do a book that hasn't been made into a movie? Something.
Have
like
you guys
that?
Seen Harvey?
No,
I haven't watched
that. Go and watch that.
Yeah, I will.
It's for me, it's a bigger travesty than Old Boy.
Well, I don't think anything is like any remake is more of a travesty than any other.
Watch Harry.
I think they're all a bit lazy, whatever it is. Except some of them, of course, there are always going to be those movies.
Yeah,
that's
put
are
most
very...
deaf in whatever movie you remake.
Oh, shut up.
No, that one hurts.
Anyways, moving on.
Anyway.
It's been confirmed that Mad Max 4 will be happening.
Yay!
With a
have
budget.
Have they confirmed the lead actors? Because
they haven't confirmed the actors.
There are
a couple rumors
schools,
going on.
Two schools of thought here, right? One is...
Nicolas Cage.
No.
Keanu Reeves.
One is Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron.
No.
And another is...
Sam Worthington.
Ah,
I'm not even talking about that. Forget Sam Worthington.
What's the other one?
The other one... Oh, yeah, no, the other one is Sam Worthington. Sorry. All right, sorry.
So
you know what,
let's
this, what I was going to say is what I really want.
All right, what do you really want?
All right, so I would love if Tom
Javier
Hardy...
Javier Bardem.
No, I would love if Tom Harvey was... Tom Hardy. Ooh, Tom Hardy was Mad Max. I think that would be fantastic.
Based on
we
Bronson.
All know him from Bronson, and he's amazing.
Phenomenal, right.
But I was also thinking to myself... Who else would be kind of awesome in this role? And you know who would be?
Christian Bale.
No.
Must stay the course.
Jason Stackhouse.
What?
Would be cool for that.
Alright, this conversation is over.
I think so.
All right. First of all,
actually, I think that's a good idea.
Mad Max was phenomenal. Mad Max 2 was a train wreck. And Mad Max 3 is possibly some of the worst movies. All right. In
remind
history.
Me which one is 2 and 3. Is 2 Thunderdome or is
three,
that 3?
3 is Thunderdome.
Oh, okay, all right.
And 2.
Yeah, 2 is bad.
Right. So they made a good Mad Max movie. Well, like 1.5. And then they made 1.5, what is clearly travesties. I don't think 4 is going to help. Listen to me. This is one series that I do. Unless they're starting over, which they're not, because there's a 4. Christopher Nolan couldn't save this. There's nobody, I think, that can save this franchise. It's impossible, because they wrecked it in 2 and 3. There's nothing that they can do to... Unless they're going to find that time machine and warp him back to the first one. And stop him from ruining the other two. No.
So you're saying a franchise can't go good, bad, bad, good?
It is impossible.
What about Die Hard?
What?
Did you not watch the second Die Hard?
Wait.
It was horrible.
Alright, and then the third one
was awesome.
Okay, yes, I know. You can't have two bad ones and how do you you can't.
I'm thinking about something
my finger,
to break
by the way.
Good. Alright. Episode 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, what happened in episode 3? Episode 4, 5, 6.
It was Star Wars.
That was George Lucas. That don't. Come on, did you not see Indiana Jones 4?
Right, and when they make Indy 5, will there be anything that they can do to save Indy 6?
All right, so
not
Damian.
Even shooting right. George Lucas.
So Damian, ignoring 2 and 3 of Mad Max.
You can't. Right?
Just play along for a little.
Fair enough.
Ignoring 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
They're making another Mad Max. Mel Gibson is too old.
Right.
Who would you like to play?
Mel Gibson. So that they can shoot him in the face and I can have closure. I don't know where they thought that having him protect children in a post-apocalyptic, you know, no holds barred and he can do whatever he wants. Who thought that was a good idea? But fuck him.
And the high horse he rode on.
All the other shit that's in room for this movie. This franchise is fucked. There's nothing they can do to fix this. It's impossible. I'll bet anybody anything. I'll blow out the sun if this is a good movie. Blow it out. I'll prevent global warming all by myself. People crazy? Did you see 3?
I have a retort.
Alright. You finally thought of something to break
uh-huh.
the rule?
Uh-huh.
007. How many bad 007 movies were there before Casino right. Royale?
I thought of that, but they rebooted it. And
I don't care.
I mentioned that clause.
No. However, he said he didn't say that it wouldn't be rebooted. He said
there's
it couldn't be rebooted because there's a 4 at the end.
How do you start?
James Bond is the 22nd. I'm sorry.
Yes,
James
but they
Bond.
Don't
Casino
number
Royale
them.
Was the 22nd movie.
Yes, but there's no
that's
numbers.
A shaky,
and they started. They said we are
the first movie. Sorry,
they said we are starting over with this. New James Bond.
Douglas, your argument is shit.
Let me prove. Pierce Brosnan did GoldenEye, then 4 train wrecks of
yes.
that got progressively worse, and then they went, there's no way to fix this. We must start over.
So at the end of the show, I'll figure out some franchise that can break your rule.
If they call it Mad Max, and that was it.
Oh shit. I just thought of Batman and then I realized.
Yeah. That one popped in my mind too. Anyways, moving on in the news while we're going on. I guess that's much. Stallone is in the news again.
Of course.
Oh, for Rocky 7, is that this?
And,
he says
and
he's
Rambo
promising
12.
After Rambo 5. It's 5, right?
7.
He's going to do Rocky 7. And hold on, it doesn't stop there. He has a quote. He says, I know I'll probably make a fool of myself if I make another Rocky film after turning 60. I also know there's going to be a lot of criticism. Even my wife says, don't do it. You're embarrassing the kids. But I told her, if I don't try, I'll be a really unhappy man. You have to do it. artists like me have to go through the dark over and over again.
You're an artist.
So,
a con artist.
Since we're on the story of franchises that have been running themselves in the ground, what do we what do we think of Rocky 7? Did you guys watch the last Rocky film?
No,
you mean Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
Of course I did. Because I am stupid. And apparently so is Stallone. There's people that do like this movie, and I have to say to them, you guys are going to hell for being stupid. Because he already made 4 better versions of that movie 100 years ago. Back when it made sense. No 60-year-old person can fight any 24, no matter how good he looks, because your bones are brittle. You'll be punched in the face. What are you talking about?
So, but what if it was Clint Eastwood playing Rocky?
No. I'm not having this conversation. Right. So, the Rocky series is... it was good, and he's now destroying it. And the Rambo series, although I have a special place in my heart for First Blood Part 2, it's because that movie is so awesome, it diminishes the heat that comes off the sun. All the others have been terrible, because they missed the point completely.
The first one is awesome.
No, I'm talking past
2. Oh, past 2, okay, sorry.
Right? The first one is good, but people don't understand the genius that is the second one. And the others are just... they're just watered down versions of both of those. It's just bad. It's just going around shooting people for no reason. In the second one, what made it awesome is that America lost the Vietnam War. And he won the Vietnam War. One man killed that entire country of people by himself. And that is why that movie is awesome. No, he's just continuing along that path, shooting up different ethnicities like a racist bastard. So bad. I hate you so much, Stallone.
Good God.
So I guess Damien says no to Rocky 7 and Rambo 5.
I can't say no. He's going to make them until he's dead. Hopefully this one kills him, man.
Douglas,
yeah?
Any thoughts on Rocky?
Not really. I enjoyed... I really appreciated and loved the first one. I enjoyed the rest of those movies, except for 5. Didn't watch the last one.
5 was a Russian one, right?
No, 4 was a Russian one. 5 was the one where
he had a student. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Didn't like that one. I haven't seen the last one, which is 6.
Last one is bad.
But it looks bad. I saw that the first 15 minutes. And I'm not looking forward to 7. That's my view.
And what about Rambo?
Rambo, I don't know. I really haven't seen any of those movies. I've seen pieces of the first one. That's about
watch the second
one. You see, here's the funny part, right? If you watch the progression of Rocky, you know, up until 4, he's still whatever. 5, he becomes a teacher. 6, they accept the fact that he's an old man, and he lies to himself into thinking that he might be able to do this. And I was half willing to buy into that movie because you could see the pain he went through during the fight at the end of the movie, right? And at the end, he raised his arm and he was like, yeah, I know I lost, but I'm an old man. And it was like that fight in Raging Bull. But 7, how can they even possibly... like, the only way 7 can happen is if they make him into Don King. And all he does is manage his people.
He's going to... it's clear. He's going to become RoboCop.
The first scene will be him in a fight. In an amateur fight.
Right.
Where he'll get killed.
Slaughtered. Right. And then
he'll be RoboCop. Made into Pat Machine. And some rule in the rule book will make him fight. Whoa.
Oh, this is...
That's a better premise than I could think of. We should email that to Stallone.
No, we shouldn't give him ideas.
And ask for a credit and a paycheck.
Let's move on, please. I'm getting sadder by the minute.
This news item Douglas emailed me. The True Grit remake that's being done by the Coen brothers. Apparently, Damon and Brolin are contenders for the lead role. Or are they like for the two roles?
It's a remake where all... we don't care.
Have you guys seen True Grit? Because I haven't seen it.
No. I haven't watched it.
All I know is it's a John Wayne film, and I'm not a huge fan of John Wayne.
What did it say? Matt Damon and Josh Brolin going to be in it, possibly?
I thought it was actually that the two of them were fighting for the lead role.
Okay.
But well, guess I'm not what? Sure, because I haven't really read it.
Do you want to know what I have to think about this, or have to say about this article?
What?
Is Matt Damon in it?
No.
Yes, he is. That's what it said, isn't it?
I haven't read it. I'm asking.
Matt Damon is in it, therefore it must be awesome. Done. I don't need anything else.
I guess we can move into trailers since we're in a Matt Damon week.
Yes, this week. We are.
You are the worst at transitions I've ever seen. You don't even try.
No, there's no point after what Douglas said. There's no point.
You're speaking of Matt Damon. Let's go to the trailers.
And this week, there's the Paul Greengrass film, The Green Zone.
Born 4?
I call it 3.5.
No, it's Born 4.
What do you think you're doing here, Miller? You're off reservation for a reason. What is it?
I came here to find weapons and save lives.
It's a little more complicated than that.
Well, not to me, it isn't.
Laurie Day, Wall Street Journal. Does it make any sense we're still coming up empty?
No. I read your articles. You said a source named Magellan met with U.S. officials prior to the war.
No, I'm not discussing sources.
Who is Magellan?
Magellan's the best source we ever had.
Have you ever even been to any of Magellan's sites?
No.
There's nothing there.
Chief, we're here to do a job. The reasons don't matter.
They matter to me. People are dying out there. I want to know why.
Douglas, since you were so wonderful to give us that opinion on True Grit, I'd like you to start this one out.
Is Matt Damon in it?
Yes.
It must be awesome.
Damien.
To tell you the truth, the trailer looks fairly...
generic.
Generic, thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
But we
but Matt Damon is in it, so I'm hoping that it's going to be very good. Also, Greengrass, I feel he came into his own in the last Bourne movie, and he
knows how to... kill shit.
Yeah, and it looks like this is the same type of movie. So I'm sure he would just... Yeah, it does. So all he'll do is get even better, hopefully.
For the Bourne 4.
Exactly, at that. So I'm hoping that it will be a good movie.
I think Greengrass is cheating. That's what I personally think.
Because this is Bourne 3.5?
He's just... using the same premise and the same actors over and over. He's cheating. But I can't say that because...
So what do you think of the trailer?
It looks fairly generic, but... it's Greengrass and Matt Damon. Like, with a track record like that, there is just... You can't look past a track record like that.
Have you guys seen the other Greengrass films? The plane, the flight, whatever it's called. Flight 5. I don't know what the number is. It's a numbered movie with about the plane that crashed out in the middle of wherever during the...
No, I didn't watch any of those World Trade Center nonsensical movies.
I'm going to say no to this trailer. I love Matt Damon. I love the Bourne movies that Greengrass did. But as you guys said... this just looks generic. It looks like...
yes, but it is a generic Paul Greengrass Matt Damon movie.
But it looks like it won't even be the awesomeness that is Bourne with,
but that's
with
impossible.
The fist-to-cuff fight.
Because Greengrass doesn't know anything else.
It looks like it's just going to be like The Kingdom all over again.
Dear God, no. Can't be The Kingdom. Stop
yes, it looks like...
no.
And then, of course...
I'll not accept that. No, change your mind.
No.
Damn it.
Well, I'll change my mind when we watch the movie and I'm wrong.
It's also me.
Yeah,
it does look generic. Damn it. Damn it.
Well,
feeling I don't really like that green with you. Feel dirty.
As soon as you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you'll find reasons to
I'm
agree
sure
with me.
What's the next trailer?
The next trailer is something that I haven't been able to pronounce yet. So maybe Douglas can help me out. It has something to do with Nelson Mandela. And it has Matt Damon again.
Invictus?
Invictus.
No, seriously. You really are terrible at transitions, you know? Don't you even try?
No.
Doesn't your brain
Would you like to do a transition?
No, because no, I'm not the host of this podcast. And you're terrible at it. We've already ruined the moment. Right, so Invictus or Invictus, whatever it's pronounced.
Today, President Mandela takes office in Pretoria, balancing black aspirations with white fears.
Remember this day, boys. This is a day our country went to the dogs.
Brothers, sisters, this is the time to build our nation. All of the whites are cheering for South Africa. All of the blacks are cheering for England. How long before the World Cup?
Don't get your hopes up. We're a damn disgrace.
I've been invited to tea.
With who?
The president.
Tell me, Francois, how do we inspire ourselves to greatness when nothing less will do? How do we inspire everyone around us?
What did he want?
I think he wants us to win the World Cup.
It's the movie about a rugby team in South Africa.
So it started out with Morgan Freeman talking in his
prison cell.
In his prison cell. And I thought it was Shawshank Redemption 2. Which would have been awesome beyond all belief. But it isn't. It is a Nelson Mandela movie about how he rallied South Africa around a predominantly white rugby team and used it to spur on the transition from basically slavery to this integrated society. And the trailer looks good, but I hate rugby.
You ever watched rugby? It's actually
yes.
Pretty interesting.
No.
I've never watched a full game of rugby. I've only seen clips, and I don't think I've ever seen a film about rugby. It's like, wow. I was just thinking about, has there ever been a movie about, or like
I'm pretty sure
sports rugby movie?
I'm pretty sure they are in... I'm pretty sure they are in, like, England, because they're really big on rugby, and I'm guaranteeing that there's Australian movies about rugby. But I tried watching rugby, and I find I have the same problem with American football movies. I can't really get into them because I'm not a big fan of the sport.
I like American football movies and baseball movies. Baseball movies especially, because as slow as the sport is, it allows for them to stop and just have dialogue and joke.
I think
Bull Durham and The Natural, awesome movies.
What's the one with Charlie Sheen?
Major League.
Yeah, I like that one. But that one really wasn't about baseball. It was about people.
Have you seen
antics.
Bull Durham?
No.
Watch Bull Durham.
Don't like baseball.
Just watch Bull Durham.
I saw
Durham.
Sugar.
Watch Bull Durham.
Have you seen Sugar?
Yes.
And Sugar is about baseball. Well, not really.
Yeah, it isn't really about baseball. It just happens to have baseball.
Yes.
Watch Bull Durham. It's an awesome movie. It's a comedy, more
is
or less.
Is it as good as Mighty Dough? All right, I'm going to stop that.
I like this trailer a lot, though. I mean, as we said up before, Matt Damon is in the movie.
Well, because that's because you're racist.
But there was this one point
and
in the trailer
of a society like this,
which I found slightly hilarious and slightly like bow in the face. In that you saw Mandela in the stands watching the rugby match, and it was obviously a friendly or something, and it was South Africa versus England, and you heard him say that the whites are cheering for South Africa and the blacks are cheering for England. The fact that the South Africans are cheering for England to say fuck you to this all-white rugby team just kind of was like, whoa. And I mean, I knew about the whole issue. I've read about it.
The issue. Racism.
No, I mean, in South Africa, the whole thing that went on there.
The thing that went on there. Apartheid.
Does it mean apartheid and racism?
Yes. Wow. I didn't want to say the name.
Since when?
Are you afraid of it?
Yes, I am. I'm afraid.
You didn't want to say it.
What?
He's your brother. That's all I'm telling you. You picked a great one here.
I'm blaming you
for all of this. You had years ahead of him, and you could have raised him right, and you chose not to.
I tried to raise him right. I beat him up every time he did shit like this.
This is what you get.
Come on.
This is what you get.
Douglas, Douglas, what do you think of this trailer?
Matt Damon is in. He has a law. Well, he has two. The Jude Law.
I love it. But no, to tell you the truth, this movie, I was looking forward to it from just hearing about it, looking at the poster. I think the poster is really good. Have you seen the poster?
Yeah.
I like it. This trailer, however, it doesn't
do it for me
at all.
I would, of course, watch it because Matt Damon is in all movie.
Yeah, but essentially what this looks like, again, is Morgan Freeman relying on his voice.
Which has done wonders in the past.
It has done wonders in the past for people who believe that Morgan Freeman's voice is God.
It is. Didn't you see Bruce Almighty?
I did, and I thought he was a bit too pretentious, you know.
Shawshank Redemption, that's what
I'm sorry, Morgan Freeman, I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
But
what I am saying is that he is given much too much leeway because people say he's a good actor.
But isn't that
even in his bad roles, people will like him?
But isn't that of most actors that have some claim to fame?
That doesn't mean that I'm supposed to like it.
Douglas being difficult as you.
Also, this is directed by Clint Eastwood. What do you guys think of Clint Eastwood as a director?
I forgot about that actually. Most of his movies are really good.
He gave me Letters from Iwo Jima, Flags of Our Fathers. He also gave me The Changeling. But more importantly, he gave me Gran Torino.
What you thought about Mystic River?
Gran Torino is all... It's long and boring and Clint Eastwood should shoot himself. Right. But Gran Torino is the reason I will watch anything this one does. Because he gave me a wish I had as a child. And I will forever be grateful.
To see an old white man be racist.
To see Clint Eastwood be racist. And old. Thank you, Clint.
As a director, I loved Unforgiven.
You're a director now?
No, as Clint Eastwood as a director. I didn't... What the hell are you guys going? You're twisting my words.
No, I'm not.
All he said was, as a director, instead of you moving past that, you justify his nonsense. And that is why it is funny. Because it threw you off for no reason at all.
Clint Eastwood as a director.
Here we go again.
I love Unforgiven. We reviewed it on the podcast early in the year. I love Mystic River. Space Cowboys is a cool film to watch. Right. I love Million Dollar Baby.
She dies in the end.
I love Changeling. I love Gran Torino.
Flags of...
I still haven't watched Flags of My Fathers.
What is wrong with you?
I remember I turned on Flags of My Fathers and got halfway in and stopped.
Watch Letters from Iwo Jima.
I haven't watched it yet. I'll probably watch it one time.
I just don't like good movies. I don't understand.
Well, there are more back here that I have. Oh shit, he did The Aiga Sanction, which I love. That's an awesome movie. I haven't seen much of his other ones. I want to watch Bird, which is about Charlie Bird. I want to watch that. Have you seen that?
No, sir.
I've seen pieces, but a long time ago.
So...
He made Firefox? Oh, the movie, never mind.
He wishes he made Firefox.
I mean, he probably did. Let's be honest. Clint Eastwood probably made Firefox.
So, yeah. I'm in for this movie already.
Listen to me,
Clint. But it won't be at the theater.
Clint Eastwood gave me a childhood wet dream, so I don't care.
Yeah.
What are we talking about now?
No, we're going to move on and talk about Damien's
movie. My movie, yay!
Man on Wire.
He said, "Well, I want to string a wire between the two World Trade Center towers." I knew he was a nut or a con man or something.
As a child, I loved to climb. Nobody could stop me.
If you want something, nothing is impossible.
He told me he was a French journalist.
It's impossible, that's sure. So let's start working.
It was 200 feet between the towers.
And there were going to be some guys in the North Tower.
The whole idea would be that Jean-Louis would send the arrow from one building to another.
What?
We just weren't ready.
Ma'am.
I didn't want to be liable for the death of a friend.
Why did you do this?
Police took a humorless view of the act.
Why did you do it?
There is no way.
I want to hear what Douglas has to say about
what I have to say about this movie. Well, this movie should be called Man with Funny Pointy Nose. That's what this movie should be called.
That's the best you could come up with, Douglas.
Yep.
It's been a week.
Actually, no, it hasn't been. I saw this movie last night.
So, this is the award-winning documentary about Philippe Petit and his...
P.S. Forwarding me an email you sent to Andrew 2 days before the podcast does not count as a forewarning of which
I realized that I only sent it to Andrew, and I said to myself, Andrew probably didn't tell Douglas.
Andrew told Douglas.
No, I was just trying to make sure.
Anyways, you know, it's about the wire walk that he did between the Twin Towers in 1974. I mean, it was about him and more about that walk and everything that led up to him
and
doing
also,
that.
And also, it also focused on his character, him being this really creative, really kind of zany guy. I kind of liked it. It was a bit cheesy at times, but cheesy in a good way. I enjoyed...
Cheesy hole.
The way he was telling the story, him.
Oh, okay.
Is enjoy the word? I like a lot of these documentaries because they're informative, and if you can inform me on something and not have it be gruesomely boring, I generally would like it. And this documentary did that very well. So much so that I was not just not bored, but I was actually very interested in the story itself, interested in what this guy was doing and how he did it and the story he was telling. This was a fairly good documentary, probably even more than fairly good, because I'm thinking to myself, I'd probably watch it again, and I generally don't say that about documentaries. So I would say this is a really good movie.
This is the second time I'm watching this movie. I love it. It's been on my to-buy list for a long time. I just haven't gotten around to it, sadly. Yeah.
I have something you don't have.
The one thing that struck me is the first time I watched it, I found myself becoming more in love with Philippe than the actual story that was being told.
Is there something you like to talk
about? Well, he's French, so... the one thing that really struck me was that at the end of the movie, when it was over, I felt like I would have been okay if the movie was entirely with the camera just sitting right in front of him for 90 minutes with him jumping around talking.
I think Andrew's a crazy person. What do you think?
I think he has his own opinion.
Is he right?
He does think that Disturbia is better than...
We have to stop saying that. That's getting annoying, no.
Oh, it's getting annoying to you. You said a timeless classic is worse than some half-ass movie. And this is annoying to you.
Yes.
All right. God damn it.
Andrew. The first 5 minutes of Rear Window is better than Disturbia.
Have you watched Rear Window yet?
Yes.
Okay.
The opening shot of Rear Window.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That opening shot is fantastic. I love it.
I don't know. Nerdark is crap. The thing that I loved about the movie the second time around was I was paying more attention to the story of how we went about doing things. And even though there's still one niggling question that I have about how he actually accomplished this.
What is that niggling question?
Is the niggling question how he actually accomplished it? Because I think he explained it.
Yeah, they were pretty clear and graphic.
Okay.
And detailed.
Alright, maybe you can answer this question.
I probably can.
Right. They were to send a wire across the Towers, and they did the bow and arrow thing, the wire came across, I'm good with that. But the rigging of the setup was that you were to have the wire across and these two wires that went across to steady the cable.
Right.
How did they set up those two wires?
It's connected to the wire before you throw the bow and arrow.
So,
yes.
What you're saying...
ah.
So you're saying is that they tie down the connectors at one end.
Yes.
Throw the bow and arrow. So yes. So the connectors move along with the cable. And then the other half is hanging out in the middle of the air.
Right, which is why there was so much slack and why they had to draw it in for the entire night. It wasn't just one person was drawing in one section and there was other people at the other ends drawing in that section. That's why it wasn't just two people drawing.
Stop it! Put it on vibrate or
damn
something.
It, I thought I had it on silent. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Right, okay.
They right. did explain.
All right. That. Okay. I'm sorry. Then maybe that was just me being stupid again.
Well, they didn't say that specifically, but that's what I'm assuming they did.
No, but that know? Is what. That's how the rig was set up. Yeah. They told you how the rig was. They didn't show you them drawing in all 4 points, but mm-hmm. they told you that was what the rig was.
Yeah,
there's no other way for them. They didn't fly across and do.
That's what I was just.
And this is not fiction, so you know it was yeah. done.
But one thing that really hit me as I was watching the film, when we got to the end and you finally saw him, the images of him walking on the wire, I kind of thought of how amazing it was for those people who are just walking to work, and they would just look up and see this figure, this little dot. As if someone is just standing up in the middle of this sky. And how awesome that is.
And can I cut in for a second? I was actually, at the end, when you find out what happened to everybody who was involved, I actually felt like everybody got a bum deal. The Petit, Philippe mm-hmm. Petit, who actually walked on the wire, mm-hmm. he yes. got a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because they said, listen, we're supposed to slap you with all of these charges, but guess what? If you just perform for these guys, don't worry.
Yeah, for the kids.
You know? However, his accomplices, or at least one of them, said that he got deported. The other one started crying twice. Well, that could just be him being emotional, and that's probably what it is. But he, even though he was emotional, and he seemed like he felt very happy about this thing that he had done, you also kind of got the feeling, and I could be wrong, that there was something not quite right there, and that he was not being as upfront about what happened afterwards in his situation. Like, you know, whether him and Petit are now not really talking because of something, or, you know, he got another bum deal as well that he wasn't willing to really talk about as much as the other guy was, or something like that. What was his name? I can't remember.
I don't remember it.
Jean-Louis, I think.
Right, so the other French dude.
Yeah, yeah. So he seemed to me to be a bit... There was something else, something extra there.
Fair
and
enough.
The other guy, I don't know his name. Definitely not. Don't know his name. He got deported and he said as much. So I thought that was really unfair. But then that's life, you know.
No, I absolutely love this movie.
And just before you go, because I know it's something I have to say, because it'll be one that will be repeated on the podcast for the next 20 episodes after I say it. Dear Zachary, still better.
Right. I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to bring it up anyway. So, I absolutely love this movie because it is one of the few documentaries that doesn't take the normal documentary structure. Most documentaries are information dumps. They're either trying to scare you or trying to inform you about a certain situation that the director thinks is important. And what they do is, from the start of the movie to the end of the movie, you're constantly bombarded with information. And depending on the topic, you either enjoy it because you've gotten a greater appreciation for whatever the director is talking about, or you're disgusted by the fact that these things are happening and you didn't know, whatever. Now, there's another documentary that took a kind of different stance, and it's the documentary he brought up. There's actually. Andrew loves this movie, and I don't have a problem with Andrew liking the movie. I hate the movie because I think what the parents did were pants on head retarded. But I'm a terrible person, and I have terrible people around
but
me.
But hold on, you don't like the movie because of what the people did, as opposed right. to the movie itself?
No, the movie itself is not the problem. It's the is what happened throughout the course of the movie that led to the conclusion of the movie, and then the reaction.
But so you can't remove yourself from what actually happened and say this movie is good or bad. You just don't like the movie.
No. I'm not talking about whether the movie is good or bad. I don't like the movie. I don't have a problem. This is what I said. I don't have a problem with Andrew loving the movie. Because mm-hmm. it's not a bad movie. I won't go as far as to say, this movie is terrible. Because there's people who will absolutely love this movie. And I can't see why. I don't like the movie because I am of a completely different mindset from these people. And I realized that it's not only me, it's probably about how I was brought up, because I showed it to a few other family members and they were in a similar mindset to me. And so at the end of the movie, we all went, this was pretty much a waste of time because of what the people did in that movie. But this movie was, because it was kind of like a heist film, because it wasn't easy for them to get access to the World Trade Centers. And the amount of planning, the amount of preparation and time that went into this dude walking on a wire for, what was it, 45 minutes?
45, yeah.
Yeah. Is ridiculous. I mean, they had to get people who were working, were literally working on the building and had access to the build. They had to get people who were high up to help them out. And even then, it wasn't just as simple as waving an ID and, you know, oh, we're going to put this rope across and walk across. And it was just so good right until the end, because at no point was this movie preachy to you. It wasn't trying to tell you a message or, you know, people should be like this and whatever. It wasn't until the very end when Petit was like, oh, if you don't live your life to the fullest every day, then you won't be on the edge of the world. I'm like, that was completely unnecessary and was completely, I mean, it was counter to all that work that they were doing in the movie, because it was just about this dude performing this feat and how he did it and how Americans view what, because he had walked across other places before, and when he was finished and the police got him down, there wasn't the media coming and bombarding him with the obvious question, which is why. They just said, oh, he did it, and that was it. But in America, he said, you know, everyone came, why did he do it, why did he do it? And he was trying to explain to them that, you know, there wasn't a why. It's just what he does. He's been doing it for a long time, and he saw the Trade Centers. That was his dream. That is what he wanted to do, and that is what he ended up doing. And the showing how he actually got it done was what was remarkable about it. It was still a documentary, but it didn't feel like a documentary at any point, right until the ending when they were talking to all of the people individually after they were saying, you know, what happened afterwards and whatever. That was the only really documentary type part, and that was a short part. But this movie, I mean, just seeing what he achieved and seeing what it took, and the fact that there's nobody like that. No, we don't get people like that. There's people who skydive and whatever, but there are safety nets involved in, you know, skydiving and, you know, bungee jumping and all of that. If this dude fell...
There are safety nets in skydiving?
You have a parachute. And okay. There's backup parachutes. You do this and it doesn't work.
I think do what this. Damon is trying to say is that at this point today, after right. all of these years, all of these crazy acts have become so much more common that people have made them more safe than they were then.
Right. If this dude did... If he shifted a little... I would have been it. Right? I remember when people saw the hat falling, everyone thought that was it. Dude was dead. And they were so relieved to see that it was just a piece of clothing. It was a hat, right?
Yeah.
A hat falling. It was... I mean... And I'm just astounded by the fact that there were people like this. And I'll never get to see what he saw. In fact, most people never get to see what he saw because Thors are gone.
Yeah.
And it also felt kind of like a love story to the Thors, because the Thors aren't there anymore, and they showed you a lot of the construction and a lot of the imagery that no one will ever get to see again because some asshole flew a plane into the Thors. I just love this movie. It was great.
You mentioned that one of your reasons why you love this movie is that it plays itself more or less like a heist movie throughout until the very end, and it never becomes preachy like any other documentary. But I think that's main to the point that this movie isn't like any other documentary. Most documentaries are trying to inform you, as you say, about a certain point or something, some evil that's going on in the world, while this is just this dude telling a story of something that he did, kind of like when you're at a dinner with your parents and some uncle is telling you about the night that he spent in jail, and he just goes on and on about the details and whatever. However, this is more awesome.
How did you know my uncle was in jail? I don't understand. Is that a racist comment? I don't understand.
It's not racist if it's true.
Is that a racist
comment? So that's what I think this documentary does different. It's a guy telling a story. Now, here's my question.
Yes.
Right? We already know we love this version of the film.
Yes.
Since this is basically a guy telling a story, do you think you would like, I'm not even going to use the word prefer, do you think he would like to have
straight
seen
up movie?
A straight up narrative, like regular Hollywood film version of this?
It could be good, yeah, but I'm afraid of what they do to the movie. I think they'd blow it out of proportion. Because one of the things that Petit did when they were talking to him, he, like, the jumping up and down and antics and all of that, I didn't really feel that that was necessary. I think he was trying to embellish a lot of the things that he did. And I don't think that was necessary because he walked across the World Trade Center. There's no need to embellish anything. I mean, it could be that because he's French and speaking in English, that's just how he sounds all the time. I'm not sure if it's something about that.
French people just embellish.
French people
embellish. That's not racist.
No, I'm saying I'm not sure, but
I'm not sure.
Maybe that's racist, I don't know.
I'm not sure makes it okay.
So you're saying
with all due respect.
Yes,
it's fine.
With all due respect.
With all due respect, you're an asshole. Talladega Nights.
With all due respect.
I did say with all due respect.
Fair. But this, I mean, you know, I couldn't believe that it was a documentary, because at no point it felt like a documentary. So good, so very, very good.
And you know what the funny part about it is, when it comes to him jumping around, I read somewhere, I can't remember where I read it, when I first saw the movie, that it wasn't something that like producers or the director had asked him to do during the interview. It's something he just did.
Oh, so it was him. Crazy French man.
Sorry, so he brought props to the interview? So, imagine being the interviewer. You know, you're like sitting down there waiting for this guy to come, and he comes and he's got like, you know, tarp and curtains and a stage, and you know, he's like, where can I put
believe
these things?
Like, hide and, have you ever played hide and seek? And what on, sit down, man. You're very distracting.
It's almost like a reverse Ali G or Borat.
You know? You crazy French bastard.
Which is why I still think today that I would kill to sit down and just talk with this guy.
He was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he was just as crazy on The Daily Show as he is in...
I heard him on a podcast a while back. I can't remember which one it was. I can't really remember. I think it might have been The Scene Unseen, but it was a while back.
I'm just glad. I mean, I hope we find
you
some more.
You heard him on a podcast.
Yes. Skipping that. We'll edit that up. I hope we find some more people like this. Some more people who have achieved great feats. And that they do this style of documentary. And not just, you know, a man sitting down and just telling you.
No more talking heads.
Right. I mean, because there have been people who've climbed Mount Everest. And there have been blind people who've climbed Mount Everest. Why can't I get a documentary about that? Instead of making documentaries about Michael Jackson and all these other people, I don't know. I mean, they're legitimately interesting people that I would like to know about. And we don't get any of that. We're getting another Ali documentary. And so he got punched in the head one too many times. I know it's crazy.
That's not nice.
I don't care. He used to punch people in the face for money. That wasn't nice either.
Wow. Anyways, anything else you guys want to say?
This movie's awesome. Oh, I mean, wait, I can't say awesome. Phenomenal. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. 9 out of 10.
Not much else guaranteed to say on that. The movie was really good. Yes. I would recommend it to anybody who, you know, so I can talk to ever.
So, Damien has, you know, wipe the slate clean. No more terrible movies from Damien.
What? Sorry. Wipe the slate. No, no. You can say, you can try and promise me now that there will be no more terrible movies. But you cannot wipe the slate. Not with,
Look.
Your previous.
We are not equal. I am the one who's picked the least amount of terrible movies. We can go back and look at our track record.
Yeah, stop. Let's give up on that argument. We're all friends. I think.
Dude, you picked Near Dark last week. And no matter how much you love that movie,
the movie was
Bill
so
Paxton
good.
Is awesome, but I'm very
anyways,
sorry.
Anyways,
blood transfusion.
I know. You see, the only difference the only thing you have to be happy about is you got warned.
And this youth was talking about the little child. He was so out of place in that movie. It was unbelievable.
I liked him.
Anyways, I think we can end there. We can end there tonight. That was the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
As usual, you can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com. You can follow me on Twitter at gmanreviews.
You put up the episode relatively quickly last week. What happened?
I wasn't that busy.
As opposed to
being not that busy.
This guy.
I was busy. Oh yeah, your job really taking a lot of time.
Anyway, before we get into an argument over semantics, you can follow me at DJR Lost His Name.
And
that's
you
my
can
Twitter name.
Follow
and
Douglas.
Shut the hell up. You can, you know, get the podcast at the Podcast Alley or on iTunes, or even at the website gmanreviews.com. You can email us at. What is the email?
unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
Or you can email Andrew at andrew.robinson.
And I have
or
a special
me
message. You guys can follow me and not use Twitter.
And that one totally works.
But that would make them sheep anyway.
And as usual.
As opposed to following. Ice-T having 25,000 followers on Twitter. That's not sheepish. Ice out, really. People keep. Never mind.
And anyways, I mean, as usual, we'll be broadcasting 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as of next week.